Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Christology Podcast.
Not to interrupt, but...
Go ahead, hon.
Why do people say not to interrupt as they're interrupting?
Because it's rude and they're trying to get away with it.
Because we Americans are just rude?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, it's the Christology Podcast, and we're back. We've been off for an exact month.
Lots and lots and lots of stuff have been happening.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about relationships and some things that have been happening in our life that we've had to pray on, and really seek the truth and search our hearts.
And the truth is a person, Jesus Christ. We left our church just today. I resigned my position as chairperson of the council. It's a very difficult, super difficult thing to do and time in our lives. And like we like to say, starting now, I guess, is everything out into the light. We like to bring everything out into the light. So that's what we'll do.
Right. We're not 100% sure we're leaving the church yet. We are taking a break for sure. But
I definitely resigned from the
council. Yeah, Dave definitely resigned.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to hit on the hockey playoffs because that's what kind of keeps us going at night when we are completely smoked from the day and our brains stop. We love hockey.
Yeah. Go Canes.
Go Canes. We're going to maybe start building our little, we call it a library. It's a dining room we're going to put shelves in. But
we've had books and books laying around in there for 4 years. And so now that we have time, we are going to work on that.
Yeah. It may be time for a new dog.
Yep. And we're going to get another Labrador. It's either going to be a chocolate or a black lab. And we've decided on a name.
We'll touch on that. We'll hit on that. And the biggest thing is leaving the church, but what has helped us through that, of course, the Lord, but has been our listeners. And it's almost sounds cliche saying that, but it's true. Like, we've had comments, so many subscribers on YouTube and comments from people that we don't know saying, you know, things like, man, I was so done with the church and the word of God and even considering it. And then we listen to you guys and
here we are leaving.
Well, that's why we're here right now. Like I said, Lord, let's just go hit record. Because we always say, you know, be where you're at. And that will help a lot of things. So let's pray and then we'll get going. God Almighty, Father God, we praise your name. We love you. And we surrender right here, right now. We don't always know what we're doing, but we know that you do. And we trust you. We're growing in our trust for you. So we're just going to let it all out. Praise you like Abraham in 420, Lord. We're not going to waver in our faith, but grow as we give you glory, Lord God, as we do it. Not we did it and then we're done. It's a process that goes through our life. So, Lord, please be present, Spirit. Guide us, Jesus, in your name. We look to you and trust. Amen.
Amen. So we've batted this around quite a bit. You know, why do people leave their church? And we've talked to elders. We've talked to our friends. We've talked to our church leaders and fellow parishioners. And we just want to make sure that the reason that we're leaving is a real reason, not a human reason, not a personality reason, that that it is real.
Biblical and you know, what Jesus would say. It's not WWJD. It's like, are we into the Word of God? And just to get right into it, like the biggest reason for me was that we had one member in our council who was crying and upset about something and people wanted to move on. It was like, hang on, we have somebody here. Now, granted, yes, she was trying to thrash people and not very pleasant, but she's one of us. And you don't, you know, he leaves the 99 for the one. And I brought that right up. And we happen to have a consultant there. And he said, yes, that's absolutely correct. John 6:39, Jesus says, this is the will of God, that I will not lose any one of those, you know, he has put for me to bring to him. So that includes everyone.
Yeah, and so the reasons for leaving the church, does it do harm to the Trinity or the creed or
the gospel?
The gospel. And So that's really what we were trying to figure out when we were making our decision. And last year I was on the council. I was the chair for a year. I was on the council for 3 years and the chair for a year. And at the end of the year, we had it just hit me that we were doing things wrong. So I brought that up, and some people got angry, and they decided to leave the church. And that was over like procedural things. There were three people making decisions for the whole church, and shame on me for not doing a better job. But I realized it at the end, and I was grateful that it was the end of my time because it was just awful. But anyway, when I came off the council, Dave was voted on, and then he was voted to be the chair. And I had said to the pastor and to the council, what an opportunity. Here we go. We can start off fresh. We can really do God's work. And that's really what both Dave and I thought was going to happen. And tell him about your vision or your dream that you had about us being on a council.
Well, it's not because of us. It's not because we're awesome and we know how to do things. It's like, no, I hid from the council for years. I did not want anything to do with business or running an organization. That's not in my wheelhouse at all. But about 10 years ago, we were at a different church, and I just had a vision. So I get, you know, my gifts are prophecy, and that doesn't mean predicting things. It just means as events happen in my life, I see scripture, how it relates to the word of God. And so you proclaim that. And I just saw Laura and I on a council. We happened to be at a church where this one was obvious. They were just, you know, saying this 1 Corinthians doesn't, that's not in our Bible because, you know, this and that. So they were just basically...
The Old Testament was not applicable.
Yeah. Doing great harm. Not that they can, not that we can or anybody can actually do harm to the Trinity or the gospel or Jesus. The creed is there as a guide. It's not, we don't worship the creed. But when you see something like that, that, you know, no, we don't need that section of scripture anymore. That's a huge red flag. That one was, well, that was still hard back then, but it was back then that I just saw you and I, Laura, on a council, and you first, and then me, and I didn't know why, but I knew it was important, and there it was, there it happened, and I...
Definitely not planned. We did not want to serve in that sense. We were serving in other areas, but the role of administration and that sort of thing was not...
Yeah, we don't say no when asked, and so I reluctantly... The election committee, nomination committee, sorry. Okay, I'm not going to say no, but beware. This is not, I am not, I don't like these things. I will lead when I have to, but I prefer to be in the middle of the pack. You know thyself. So anyways, we just say that to say, you know, so when these things happen and when it was two people, you know, or three people saying, well, no, here's what's going to happen. It's like, well, why? Was there a discussion? Yeah. Can we hear about it? No. Okay. Why? It's a huge problem.
Right. Like, the people in the council are elected. They are a representative of the congregation. And when they don't have a say or conversation or discussion about the topics that are brought to the council, you know, decisions are made on the outside. And that is what was happening last year. And it was a huge red flag. We're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dave was like, whoa, 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 stop. You know, we are status quo, and we're backtracking. We are going back.
Yeah, so just to put this, boil this down to the problem, you know, and this is an interdenominational church, so it's fairly transparent with its policies and everything. It's not very different from the Catholic Protestant church, pretty much. But the main thing is relationships and discipleship, and we were failing in both of those areas. You know, if we're going to leave a person on our council, one member is there crying, visibly in pain because of whatever. It doesn't matter whatever, but, you know, that is a relationship issue, and they were just willing to ignore it. And
next topic.
Yeah, I had my things that I wanted to talk about, but that was just glaring. So I was like, hold on. It's right here. Relationships, vertical, horizontal, yourself with God, you know, and the triune God, yourself, and then your relationship with others. That's more important than vacation Bible school.
Programs.
Yeah. So purpose over programs. And this was the opposite. And we've tried to say that and show that. And
we're 4 months in from Dave taking over. And he's been working on this for 4 months. So it's not a quick decision by any means.
No. And Laura had a year as chairperson and 2 years before that just as a council member. So it's a big deal. We don't want to sit. We're not saying here's how and when. Like this, that's just the guide we used, along with, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, the first gate of discernment. We did a podcast on that. What love is and what love isn't, because people will say they love this and that, and you know, love never dishonors. You know, love always protects. Love bears all things like a roof under snow. It doesn't collapse, so you don't leave the one. Right. So this was a very big deal. It just, I just handed in my resignation letter 2 hours ago, mm-hmm. with very much trepidation, fear, and trembling. But,
and we talked a lot about getting past anger because I was very angry at the end of last year. I felt disrespected. And so when this all cropped up, we were very sure to discuss, you know, self versus Jesus. I mean, you know, why is this such a problem? Is it just my personality? Is it just...
is there a real problem there? And yeah. It's like a relationship, a man and a woman, you know, there is a fine line between being a doormat, and somebody tried to tell me, well, you're going to have to decide if you're going to forgive or hold a resentment. And it's like, it is not always that simple. You don't just forgive and everything's okay. Forgiveness is a deep, deep thing that I barely understand. I know it's important. I'm sort of learning how to do it at an older age than I thought. But, you know, there's boundaries along with forgiveness. It's not just, oh, well, they did it again. And you know who helped me so much, man? Tom Brown, my Aussie friend. One of my first podcasts as a guest I did. This guy couldn't be more far removed from the church or geographically from us. And I just told him a little bit about it. He's like, yeah, mate, well, when they act like that, oh, I see, you know, you're gone. Something, I don't know, but it was just like, wow, he nailed it, so...
And I think a lot of the problem, too, was candor. You know, people are so worried about talking the truth or, you know, pointing out that kid's book, The King Has No Clothes.
The Emperor Has No Clothes, yeah.
The Emperor Has No Clothes, yeah. Well, like, Christian name. Let's just keep on covering up and keep on hiding and not worry about little things, but little things are big things, and words mean things, and lies matter. Mm. We're too old to be lying. Like, that's basic kid stuff, and there's no need for it. And so that was a real eye-opener for me, that the integrity of some of our leadership was not there. And, you know, you try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but when the words are so obvious, it's hard to respect that person.
Yeah, and then you take this obvious, just complete deception, act of deception, and you show it to somebody else, and they want to cover it up, and everybody wants to cover it up. And you understand why? Because we were doing the same thing last year.
Mm-hmm. You know? Right. Yeah, let's just get through this.
Yeah. And that's why we say, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, of course, yes, we're liars. We do things. And it's not just, well, we're human, so no. This is, first of all, this is a church. This is not a business. It should be different. We shouldn't even be talking about relationships need to be first, because they should be first.
Yeah.
They're not, and that's why the church is completely broken.
Yeah.
In America. Well, maybe not completely. There's a remnant. There's always a remnant. It's not for me to say, forgive me, Lord. But it's so visibly broken. So we just want to be where we're at here and say, we see that. We're still going to try. I mean, we talked to everybody there and said, look, we're not gone. We're not looking for another church. It's not that.
The church and we don't wish any ill will on our old church at all. Like, we hope that things get better. No. And we're not trying to take people away from it. We're not trying to impose our beliefs on it. No. And, you know, even Dave and I didn't agree on every single thing through this process. We had to talk through it. So it's not about one person or one opinion.
Yeah, in Sierra Leone, we're going through a discipleship series. We're using the book The Kingdom Life by Dallas Willard and others. And it's an awesome book. And chapter 2 talks about communities of grace. This book is like simple stuff, but it is so not easy. And Communities of Grace talks about trust, humility being essential to relationships, which is the core of everything that we're doing. And humility is not what I always thought. It's not what I've always heard, thinking less of yourself. You know, no, it defines humility. And I read this back in seminary about 5 years ago as trusting God and others with you, with me. So I'm like, what? But I really trust these authors in the book. So I played that out and I tested that, trusting God and others with myself. And if you think it through, give it a try, it's like, well, it you see that it covers everything, because if I'm trusting God with his word, I'm going out in unity and I'm accepting the role of council member. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it seriously, learn Robert's Rules of Order. I hate that stuff, but, you know, okay, I'm going to, because I'm trusting God that he put me there. And then the others, I'm getting feedback from elders who want me to, us to succeed. And so it works. You know, next thing I know, I'm being accused of being humble. And it's like, I've never heard that before. So that's cool. I like that.
And along with that is vulnerability. Like,
yeah, that's the main thing.
You know, that's huge, putting yourself out there and being able to trust people to take care of you, take care of your heart.
Yeah, so an example of that is I just felt called to say this, and vulnerability. For me, it was, you know, I'd be talking to some men in the council, and I felt like they were washing over things and explaining things away and saying, no, it's everything's fine. Okay, you weren't lied to. We just didn't tell you what we were doing for 9 days behind your back and illegally. That's all. Oh, okay. So I tracked that down with, you know, somebody else outside the church. And, you know, that's a super sore spot for me, because that's what my dad used to do to me and my brother, is say, no, everything's okay. It's like, hey, we're getting the crap beat out of us and we haven't been fed well for the last several days. No, everything's, I put a roof over your head and fed you, you know. It's like, well, they do that for prisoners, man. I found out in my 20s, 30s. So where was I going with that? Vulnerability. So I was challenged to admit that to the guys that I was having trouble with, struggling with, fighting with. I said, hey, check it out, dudes. So here's a sore spot for me. I was being open, saying, I feel like a little kid with my dad when you guys are saying, no, everything's fine. Now, they didn't do anything with that. I don't even feel like they heard me, but I did my part. I swept my part of the street. I told, you know, I admitted that out there. Maybe it could have gone better or worse. I don't know, but I did what I was challenged to do. I faced my tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you did all that last year too, Laura. We took our time with this. It was super hard. So we're calling, you know, leaving a church. It's a big, hard deal.
Yeah. And part of that sweeping it up or sweeping it under the rug, not the sweeping your side of the street, but like today we met with an elder, and they were giving us advice of what we were to say to the congregation.
Yeah.
If we decide to leave, but also what Dave is to say, why he quit.
Yeah, this person's whole posture changed. It was like in the movies when they, like Harry Potter, when they like bow up and the tone of the voice changed. You will say that this church is not for you. And I was like, I will do no such thing. I feel like Mel Gibson in Braveheart. I've been given nothing. Like, do not tell me what to say or think.
Right. Let's just keep hiding the sin. Let's just keep on covering it up and keep everything in the dark. Like, because that, you know, that was part of the thing last year when we asked people who were leaving, why? Why are you leaving? And there was no answer. And I think, you know, a lot of it was ego and hurt feelings and
uncertainty.
Well, and being called out for the misdoings on the council. So for us, we do want people to know why we left, because it's not nothing.
Right. It is a big deal. Yeah, integrity matters that much. In Romans 5, in the whole workflow of which I'm, you know, is so apropos on the football field of suffering, perseverance, character, hope, in that order. Right? They're in that order, and you can't bypass character. That's what's kind of going on here. And it doesn't work on a sports team either. They crumble.
Yeah.
You can't cover it up with athleticism, and you can't cover up character flaws in church with good preaching. Discipleship is more than a good sermon.
Yeah. And Dave had gotten some advice from a friend who had talked about the 40 days.
41 days.
Well, 40 days of this, 40 days of that in the Bible, you know, all the different stories. And then yesterday we were going to meet with this person, and we stopped by the post office. It was the opposite direction. Dave hates going to the post office. Yeah. And I said, nope, we don't have to go. No problem. We don't have to go. And we went, and we were in the car headed to our friend's house.
You need to go to the post office.
We were headed to our friend's house, and I opened up one of the packages, and I pulled out the invoice, and it said 41 days. And that friend had said, wait for the 41st day. And I asked Dave, I said, did you order it because of this? And he didn't even know what the name of the company was that he had ordered from. Yeah. It was a sweatshirt yeah. by that company. And I think that's part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this person was saying, you know, just wait through the storm, through the flood, all that. And we did. And then we saw that and we knew just, you know, we knew before that, but that's just like, oh, okay. You know, I never go by signs, but when you see them, you see them.
You see a lot of them.
It's okay to ask for signs. Look, is it okay to pray for sports? I'm putting you on the spot, Laura.
Yes.
Why?
Well, God can do anything.
What about the other team?
They can learn something from it.
You're tracking? Look, I've been thinking about this for years.
I used to pray for fish. One fish when we go fishing. I'm getting you off track, aren't
I? No, it's along those lines. I've been thinking about this for years. Is it okay to pray for sports? Yes, but look how we do it. Oh, God, please let my team win. We bypass. Mm-hmm. Praise your name, God.
Right, yeah.
And we bypass. I confess my sin of not resisting temptation here or there. And we bypass Thanksgiving, and we get right to the supplication.
Yeah.
That's why it is so derailed. It's flawed from the start.
Yeah. And if you didn't catch that, this was what a friend of mine taught me when I first became a Christian, like, you know, believed in Jesus and, you know, had my porch swing moment. Mm. She said, I said, oh, I pray like a kindergartner. You know, I don't even know. You know, God, I like you. Thanks. And have a great day. You know, it was terrible. But she said, to use the acronym ACTS, so adoration, giving God praise, and confession, you know, confessing your sins, thanksgiving, being grateful, and supplication, what do you need help with? And that really, really helped me. And I'm not knocking praying like a kindergartner. So for those of you out there that are new and you're not sure what to say, say what's in your heart, because what there was somewhere, I'm a really new Christian, so there was somewhere, though, that it said we should be more childlike. Yeah. And so I think that is because it's genuine. You know, you're still pure and
who you are.
Who you are, yeah.
I like how you said pray for what you need help with and not what you need.
Mm, yeah.
God knows what you need. True. You can still ask, but that's big of you. What's your porch swing moment? What do you mean by that? I just wrote that on the whiteboard.
Really? When I...
I know what it is, but come on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Help me out here.
Goose. I know. We did just sit down and say, let's just talk. So, It was when I was going through a really, really tough time in my life. I think it was 2012 and just miserable and yuck. And drinking a lot and watching a lot of reality, stupid TV, and just wallowing in my own self-pity. But I don't know exactly when, but I had a vision of sitting on a porch swing on my house that doesn't have one. But I was sitting there with Jesus, and I had my head on his shoulder and just crying and boo-hooing and getting it all out. And I was getting comforted and loved and reassured.
I love that. I want to hear that every time you want to talk about it, because that affected me when I was in the middle of seminary. Mm. You know, I'm 8 hours studying the word, and you said that, and I'm like, well, that's what it's all about.
My women's Bible study, they said, what are some of God's gifts that you have difficulty with? And I was having a hard time thinking of, you know, what's the right answer? And then when we were sitting there, it occurred to me, love. And what a strange thing to say, you know, everybody's loved. But during that year, I learned that I was loving, I was lovable, and I was loved. Like, those are three different words that mean three different things. Hmm. And I had no idea, like, what any of them were until I realized that Jesus is all of those, and that is what I needed in my life.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted, and we are transformed step by step from glory to glory. There are different levels of love and grace. You know, there's a grace that gets us to receive Jesus. I don't accept the creator of the universe. I receive him, hopefully, every day. And then that same grace transforms and grows for me to mature and keep going along the line. Conversion is the start point. This book talks about that too. It's the start point, not the finish line. You know, we're not saved to just go to heaven, and what's the point of being here? We are saved by grace through faith to become and make disciples and start to take on the culture and learn the language of the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm here to tell y'all, it's going to be good. I know that. I had dreams about that, too. I can't put into words.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we left the church. I feel better, a little bit better. You? How about you?
I'm sad.
Yeah. I mean, I feel having talked about it here for 28 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, I'm sad. You know, it's a social event too. Like, you know, I'm not going to run into these people every week that I love so much. But, you know, we'll have coffee, whatever. And, you know, we can do our own Bible studies at home. During COVID, we were doing our own sacrament. We were doing communion at home. And but at the same time, I feel very at peace, very at ease. I'm comfortable with the decision that we made that, you know, it's God's will. And so
what's interesting here, too, is the kids. Like, we made sort of mention, you know, we always think we're shielding the kids from stuff. Totally not. I said something about it, and I think it was Maddie. He just said, about time, like, that we face this issue, you know, and do something. They're just like, they see it.
I wish you would have said something a long time ago.
They see it, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. So we're not getting, yeah, like, we're not in a, it's kind of like ending a relationship. You know, they always say don't go out and get in right into a brand new relationship. We're not going to do that either with the church. We're going to chill and, you know, not go to church, but we're going to double down on our studies and prayer and mm-hmm. fasting and seeking and have a Bible study here with friends and just see where it goes. You know, we're not going to rush out to find the awesome, perfect church. We know that doesn't exist, but when it's wrong, you got to shine the light on, or let the light be shown on everything. And if somebody's saying, no, don't shine the light in there, I want to know why.
Yeah, for sure. And so, are we ready to close out?
Well, it's Sierra Leone. Let's touch on that. I said something about it, but we're running the Kingdom Disciple Series there. We're in chapter 3 this week. It's been so weird and cool. Weird just because it's happening, and it's like, that's our church. I mean, we also did a presentation a week and a half ago.
At our local church here.
Yeah, church we just left. But, you know, and that's on, that video is on our YouTube channel, Christology Podcast.
And there was, there were important people, elders at that meeting. And after we got, or after that presentation and after we got done, they, most people had a question or a comment or appreciation for the struggle of the Sierra Leoneans, and others just wanted to leave and talk about baseball. And it's just, it's sad when, you know, the people that we think are so important in helping us grow our faith don't seem to care.
Yeah, all those things add up. Character matters. You can't bypass character. You can admit a flaw and plop it out there, and you're probably going to be shown mercy and grace and forgiveness and allowance. But when you try to
hide it,
you know, put it into different boxes and different attics and basements, it's not going to work. So, but Sierra Leone is just going so well. We love Pastor Prime and Magdalene and Joelle, and it just makes... It helps us so much to see, like, you know, God, they're struggling with malaria and typhoid and enough food to eat, but they're not, they don't expect anything. They're just truly grateful and worshiping. And, you know, so are we here when we are able to get real. A few moments a day.
Yeah.
Should we talk about one bold move a day or save that for another podcast? That might be a whole podcast.
Okay.
One bold move a day.
Yeah.
Let that simmer a little bit, but do one bold move a day, none less. What else did we have on? We talked about hockey.
We talked about hockey, yeah.
So Labrador, let's just make that the last thing. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I will ask for prayers. I have two more MRIs next week. I thought I was getting better from my head injury, and then... a little while ago, I started having double vision. So whatever that is, I feel fine, but prayers are always welcome. And just for clarity.
Yeah, we're dealing with that. We're going to look, we got some exciting stuff going on too. We forgot to mention that. Our friend Amir, who did an episode, he's just excited to, you know, maybe produce with us and work together. And we've got some ideas, like a 10 episode sort of series, you know, with some military stuff. We've been tossing that around, and he's definitely got a better grip on tech and
production,
production and modern culture than we do. I mean, we're getting old, babe, but
yeah, I know.
So
I had to Google how to turn on iMessage on my phone the other day. I'm going to blame that on my head injury, not.
But, you know, just, and that's because we're only even considering that because of the comments subscribers we're getting. Not to get big, but because it's working.
Yeah, to reach people.
That's, yeah, like we thought it would.
Spread God's work, discipleship.
Yeah, so that's why. But potentially some really cool stuff coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
I just did that interview with David Hookstead, Outkick News.
That's that was
on
great.
YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 2.5 hours and got done with that and fell asleep right here where I stood pretty much. And then we are ready for another dog. Norm, our Labrador Norm, he's so awesome. He's a 195-pound chocolate plug.
Yeah, he's...
He's stout. Antoine calls him nephew. But he's our only dog, and... So we're possibly getting another lab.
Yep. And we have decided on a name because we think it'll be really, really funny. We're going to call him Dave. Said Davey, and he said, no, it's just got to be Dave because it'd be even funnier when you're outside yelling for the dog.
Not because I'm named Dave, but just because I haven't seen a dog named Dave yet. You know, yeah. I've seen like Rick and Dan and Steve.
And Norm.
Human dog names are the best. Just haven't seen a Dave yet. I've seen a John. We had a John.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about time for Dave. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
All right. Is that about it, babe?
That's it.
This has been the Christology Podcast. We're so glad to be back. We took 30 days off for spring break. It was probably supposed to be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It got extended, obviously. But we made it through. Not just made it, but we're better for it. And that's because we trusted the Lord. We sought Him with all our strength and might and soul and mind. And we found Him. He was there on the porch swing. He was there wherever we went. Father God Almighty, we praise Your name. We love You so much. Holy Spirit, like the wind, we don't see You. We don't know where You come from, but we know You're there. And we trust You. We open ourselves to You. We pray for our audience out there, everyone listening, that You call them, equip them, touch them, bless them, comfort them, and show them the way, Lord God, to whatever You have for them in their life, because You have something for everyone since before the creation of the world. We love You, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.